Hare Krishna. Okay, we have a few questions here from some devotees. First one is from Harigam Das, and he's asking about, is it true that a little deity of Srimati Radharani at Raval, Radharani's birthplace, that actually dates back to the time of Vajra, Krishna's great grandson, and did he actually install that deity? My answer to that is, I don't know. Vajra installed 108 deities throughout Vrindavan. I've never seen a comprehensive list of that 108 deities. As far as I know, not all of them have been discovered. Certainly there may be a tendency among Saivites to say such things in order to get support for their temple, that these are very old deities. I'm not saying that's the case here in Raval, but I can't say one way or another. And whether all of the deities that Vajra had installed had even been located as at the present or even worshipped, that I also don't know, obviously, because there's no full list. For instance, Govindaji was found in the ground by Rupa Goswami. So it's sort of all part of the mystique of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in his Murti form. The next question comes from a Andre Segui, and he asks, why is ISKCON building a skyscraper temple or the Vrindavan Chandraboya Mandir in Vrindavan along Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark? He says that's not really befitting the mood of Vrindavan. Here the answer is that ISKCON is not doing that. This is some other institution, some other people who are doing that. It has nothing to do with ISKCON. And it is a fact that Srila Prabhupada didn't want such big towering temples as, for instance, the TOVP is here in Mayapur in Vrindavan, because Srila Prabhupada considered that the Vrindavan mood is more a village mood, and that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted over there. Therefore, it's often distressing to me when I see the so-called skyscraper apartment buildings that are being built, and of course devotees are moving into those things. Anyway, Andre, it's not nothing to do with ISKCON, therefore not something we can do about. Anantabhar Gauranga asks a good question. He asks, devotees are in different stages of Krishna consciousness, all the way from Shraddha up to Prema. Is there a difference in the effect that their chanting has on the listener? And of course the answer is yes. Generally there's the statement, you can only give what you have. But actually, remembering or recalling one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statements, devotees give less than what they have. I think he says that sadhakas give shraddha, ecstatic devotees give taste, and devotees on the platform of prema give either ecstasy or prema. So yes, different effects are, different chanters have different effects on others. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that in the Harinam party, there should at least be one devotee who's on the platform of praying in order to be able to give the hearers the best possible chance at Krishna consciousness. And another perspective of this is that we should recognize that preaching means more than just talking or chanting Hare Krishna. It's not just what we say or the mantra that we give, but it's also our level of spiritual advancement will have a different effect on different people. And so preaching means being Krishna conscious. So you can only give what you have or less. Karunamayi asks, kindly explain why women don't wear a Brahmin thread, upavita. The answer, or at least my understanding is, Upavitta is connected to Brahma Gayatri Mantra. Brahma Gayatri Mantra was not customarily given to women. Originally, Srila Prabhupada also didn't give it at the first initiation to his female disciples. He did it later on, but obviously he didn't give them a Brahman thread. The Panchatriki mantras can be chanted by women. Of course, there's no harm. And in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, to my understanding, women didn't give the Brahma Gayatri to others either, because Vedic mantras are not meant to be chanted by ladies. Although Vaishnavis are certainly beyond those things, but in order to conform to the Vedic norm, then this was a practice adopted by our acharyas. Of course, not everyone sees eye to eye with my opinion here, but then not everyone sees eye to eye with all my opinions. Such is life. So therefore, ladies don't wear Brahman thread, and there's certainly no argument that Srila Prabhupada did not give women Brahman thread. And the last question is by Manjari Devidasi, who says that she's seen that the different times I've told men to take off their hats in the temple. And why is that the case if ladies are supposed to cover their heads? So yes, ladies should cover their heads, because that's the vidhi, that women keep their heads covered. As a general practice, men may want to cover their heads when they're cold. For instance, here in Mayapur, in the winter time, it's really cold in the temple room, and devotees may want to cover their heads. My preference is that they cover their heads with their chadars, rather than wearing a hat. But my reaction has been not so much to the hat itself, but when the hats are worn, because sometimes I see that men are wearing their hats not when it's cold, but when it's warm in the summer. They walk in the temple room wearing a hat because that's some kind of fashion that's going on in the outside world, that people want to look like, men want to look like rappers. And unfortunately, some devotees also think that it's very cool to look like a rapper, and that enhances their image. So, of course, doing that in front of the deities and trying to be fashionable according to Rakshasa tradition is not such a good thing for devotees to do. So better that they don't wear their hats in heated temple rooms or during warm climates. And that's it for today, and we're heading off on parikrama with the Guru Kulis and Hare Krishna.